together, verse 1, and you see the first sin that they committed against the Lord. They already go. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now, uttermost means those who are in the back part, right, the behind, and those who are in the back part. Remember, when they were in the camp, everything is very orderly, right? When they are stationary, you know where each of the tribe is going to position. When they move, you know where they are. Now they have started to move. They have the pillar of clouds in front of them. They have the pillar of fire to lead them. And yet, look at chapter 11, verse 1. They started to what? This word called complain. Ah, how many of you are complain queen or complain king? Ah, always complain. Everything also complain. Right? When the food comes before you on your table, what do? Eee, always the same old food. Ah, you're so oily. Always only vegetable. Right? We always complain. When the teacher comes before you, lousy teacher. Ah, exam paper too hard, also complain. Exam paper too easy, also complain. Everything you like to complain. Right? And that is the problem, not just with the children of Israel, but with us. And the children of Israel complain. The Bible does not tell us what exactly was this first complaint, this thing that they complained against the Lord. But it must be something that is quite serious, something that angered the Lord. And so the Lord sent judgment. And this thing called complaint, this sin of complaint, is something that you and I must wash out. Wash out and stop complaining. What do you complain about? Ask yourself. Yesha, what do you complain about? Everybody say something that you tend to always complain. What? Your brother, alright. Just say one. Well, your food, your family, your study, your teacher, your brother, Ebenezer, Uncle John also can. food. Richard.
Food.
Grayson. Sibling. Oh, okay, sibling. Same. Esther.
Some people.
Okay, people. Army. Army. Army.
NS.
Oh, yeah, NS over already. Circumstances. Okay, things. Oh, yeah.
Problems.
Complain about all the problems that come to your life, I think. Some teachers. Alright, complain about teachers. How about me? Complain about who? My daughters. You all complain. You all complain and we complain. But we have to watch out. Because you see in this verse 1 that God's judgment was very severe. When they complain, you read carefully, it did displeased the Lord. This word displeased the Lord means that it was evil in the ear of the Lord. That means the Lord heard it and it was evil in the ear of the Lord. It was something that the Lord detests, the Lord does not like it, and it was like something evil that you speak, and then in the ears of the Lord. See? So it displeased the Lord, and therefore the judgment of the Lord came. So remember, when you and I complain, we complain about people, food, circumstances, anything, it goes to who? Whose ears? It goes to the ears of the Lord. And it can be an evil thing in the ears of the Lord. When your complaint is not justified, and your complaint is not fair, and you just want to complain, when your mother maybe works so hard, cook for you whole day, do this, and then when the food comes on your table, and you say, I don't want to eat. Or someone spend a lot of time to love and care for you, and then you just complain about the person and chuck the person away. But it was evil in the ears of the Lord. It displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And then the Lord sent what? Fire to judge the people. Do you ask yourself, why is it so severe? Have you asked yourself, hey, Uncle John, it's only a complaint. What? Why is God so serious? I only talk bad about my brother only. But why is God so serious to send judgment, fire, to consume a lot of the children of Israel, and they even have to die? I tell you the reason why it's so severe. You see, God's judgment comes upon us according to the proportion and the measure of our faith. When the children of Israel, hello, they final year, right? Don't complain, huh? Come, go away, sit down. Okay, let's have a piece of note for Chloe. Okay, so don't complain. Thank God that she's here safe and sound. Alright, let's ask ourselves this question. Why is God's judgment so severe? Why is it that God sent the fire when it's just, what we say, oh, it's just a small little thing about complaint. And the reason is this, as I said, that God deals with us according to the level of our faith. When the children of Israel, they were just like a baby when they left Egypt. And God was very kind to them. God was very patient. God does not send any severe punishment and judgment on them. But as they spend their time and they see God's hand, God's power, and then when they spend 10 months in Mount Sinai, they receive God's instruction. They have learned, they have matured, they have grown in their faith. And so as they grow in their faith, God also expects them to trust Him in Him more and more. And yet, when you see that, when they just started to move, already what? Complain. God, you're not fair. God, why like that? Maybe why the weather so hot at night? God, why the weather so cold? Daytime, every time you complain. And so God has to teach them and God has to deal with them. It's just the same. Do you notice that when does the food of manna stop? Do you know when does the manna stop that God provides them with the daily food? The moment they enter the promised land. God say, no more food free for you from heaven. You now have to what? You now have to conquer. You're in the promised land. You now have to grow your own food. Right? You're matured already. And so, you and I must also know that God deals with us as we mature in our faith. How long have you been a Christian? If you are still a baby, 5 years, 10 years, and then God is going to be very displeased with us. I mean, after 5 years as a Christian, after 10 years as a Christian, you're still a tiny baby, everything don't know, don't want, I cannot serve, I cannot do this, I cannot pray, I don't know the Bible. If you keep saying this and saying this, that means we're not growing up. It displeases the Lord. And God will deal with us. So we have to learn this very important lesson. Why is God's judgment so severe upon the children of Israel? Complain, complain. Learn the first lesson. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 6. Very easy to remember. Alright, 6:6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 6 tells us what? Let's read together. It's all printed here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not printed here. It's great gain. You can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So don't complain. The Bible teaches us to be contented, to thank God for what we have, for what we are, for who we are, for all our circumstances, even for all the problems that we face in life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so that is an important lesson that you and I must learn. Maybe some of you, I know your family condition is more challenging than others. You have more struggles at home. I know some of you in your studies, it's a challenge, not easy. You struggle in your study. Some of you have very difficult siblings who always just irritate you, right? And just cause you a lot of struggles. But remember, don't complain, right? Still thank God for it. Be contented, thank God, and ask the Lord to help you to bear with it, to learn from it, to overcome and to show love. And don't complain when you see others. Hey, how come this family, they can buy all the expensive clothes and can go this place, that place. I live in a poor family, I don't have this. Don't complain. Thank God also for your family, for what you have. When you go to school, don't complain. When you see this teacher cannot teach, what do you do? Recess time, what do you do? Mr. So-and-so, I always cannot teach. I sleep in his class. Don't be like a non-believer, talk like that. As Christian, we don't complain. We still respect the teacher, try our best, work hard in the school, in the class. Even the teacher cannot teach well. You will always face teachers that cannot teach you well. Every school that I go to always have lousy teacher and good teacher. You go to university, also got good teacher, lousy teacher. Everywhere you are, you go in a working place, you have good colleagues, you also have bad colleagues. So everywhere you have all this, but don't complain. Don't say, this is no good, and then Right, you complain. And also don't complain just because you don't look pretty or handsome. Why my eyes like that one? Don't complain. I got small eyes. Don't complain, you got small nose. Okay? Don't complain. Thank God for everything. Thank God that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. So learn this important lesson about me. Always complain. Now, the second sin that the children of Israel committed against God. Just now you read from verse 4 to verse 6. It was about what? About food. Right? It was about food. You complain about food? Look at verse 4 to verse 6. Okay, just verse 4. Look at the last line. Can you see the last line of verse 4? What was their sin? And what did they say to God? Right, the children of Israel wept again. Wow, even come to this, they wept. You know? They don't weep for their sin, but they wept. And what were they crying? They were crying for what? Who shall give us flesh to eat? You know what were they crying? Not crying to God for, God, we have sinned. Why, we have complained. No, they were crying. And they were crying for what? Lord, we got nothing. We got no meat to eat. Every time we eat what? Eat manna. You know what is a manna? Manna was the food that God dropped from heaven. Manna is like a kind of like a wafer, right? Wafer, you just melt inside your mouth, and they can of course use this to make into cakes and so on. It tastes a bit like honey, and after you eat for how long already? So at this point of time, they have spent the journey, right, from Egypt to Mount Sinai, 1 year and 2 months. Spent another 10 months in Mount Sinai, so about close to 2 years. So for 2 years, they've been eating what? Manna. And when the first time the manna dropped from heaven, what must they say? Ooh, very nice, very nice. Second day also very nice. After 1 year, what did they say? Sienna. After 2 years already, now what did they complain? God, God. And they cry, you know, cry for what? I want meat. Are you like that? When the food is on your table, what do you do? Always vegetable, no meat. And then the children of Israel, they cry and they say, where is the meat? But there were something that I want you to learn from Numbers chapter 11. Can you see that these people were influenced in verse 4? Can you see the word mixed multitude? Can you see the word mixed multitude? There was this mixed multitude that were among them. And this was a bad influence to the children of Israel, this mixed multitude. They were together with them. And then they are probably the one who got bad influence and manner. You're tired already, I don't want to eat God not fair, always give us just a lousy food. And then he influenced the children of Israel. This mixed multitude, who were they? When they left Egypt, right, the children of Israel left Egypt. Besides the Israelites who left Egypt, there were other people of other nationalities from other countries. They also probably will be slaves in Egypt. And they were there, and also probably they left and they just don't bang along and went out along. And so these people, most likely, they do not believe in the true and living God of Israel, and they just tag along and come along and they follow along, they were allowed to follow. And here they become a bad influence. And a lot of time in our life, why is it that we complain? It's because we have a lot of bad companies. And the bad companies will influence us. And they say, this lousy teacher, don't do homework, all don't do. Then you also don't do. This lousy teacher, all don't go for class, content. And you also follow. Because of what? Bad influence. And then they will do a lot of bad things. I'm sure you have read all that's happened in Downtown East. Why the poly student, right, from Republic Poly was killed by the gangster. And all those who were arrested were what? 18 years old, right, 17, 19 years old. They're all as young as, right? Some of most of you here, they carry parang with them. Check your bag. They should know parang with you. And they carry parang with them. Why? Because of what? That company. Probably will be one or two who say, let's carry parang, let's carry this knife, let's carry this jackknife. Wow, look very stylish, very cool. And then the rest will just follow. So that company is something that you and I must watch out. Who are the friends that you go out with? Who are the friends that you mix with who influence you in your life? If it's people like this mixed multitude, then you are in trouble. That's what happened, right? They were in trouble, they got influenced by the mixed multitude, and then they complain and they say, God, I don't like your manner, I want meat to eat. So today I want to ask you, and you know, who are the friends that you go out with? Who are the friends that influence you the most? Who are those that cause you, whether you think right or you complain a lot? And I always hope and encourage that each one of you here will be the best friends among yourself here. And you be? That you find that your best friends are here. The one who influence you are here. And you must influence each other in the way of the Lord. If your best friends are those who are halfway anian, or are being saying, then you're in trouble. Not our being. Then you're in trouble. Really you're in trouble. Who are your kind of friends? So the Bible reminds us, and it's very important. And then you see in verse 5, and the people complain about food. And they say, no meat to eat, no flesh to eat, all in this type of manner. No, it's not nice. And then in verse 5, they say this. Let's read together. You read this. It's very interesting, because from here you can learn an important lesson. What it says here, verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. What were they saying? They were saying to God, God, last time when we were in Egypt, all our food was what? For the best, right? All our food was the best. We really enjoyed those food. Now God, you give us such lousy manna to eat. How can we take it? After 1 year, 2 years, I cannot take it. I'm going to ask you this question. You see the word that they used. We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. Were they free people when they were in Egypt? They were actually what? Slaves, right? When they were in Egypt, they were actually slaves. And here they say, Lord, when we were in Egypt, we eat freely, as though they were free people, as though they have so much of this blessing. When you complain against the Lord, it's always going to be what? Unjust, unfair. And then you say words that are not right. And this is exactly what they say, right? They say, wow, in Egypt we were as though we were so free, but actually they were being tortured, they were slaves, the Egyptians bullied them, and they were really, you know, suffering in Egypt, and God delivered them. And now they say, what? Egypt was better. Egypt was the best. Egypt, we were free people. This is what we are. When we face problems, difficulties, we always say what? Wow, last time the best. Last time Ebenezer started the best. Now, sian already. Last time, we are the best. But now, no good. We like to complain, and then we like to compare what? With the past, and say, oh, the past is the best. Because we forgot, and then we think the past is so wonderful. Just like what they say here. But actually, the past was terrible. God delivered them. And now they say Egypt is good. And then they say what? Look at the kind of food. Did they say, oh, we remember in Egypt we eat abalone, we eat sharp fins. Have it not. No, right? They say in Egypt they eat what? Cucumbers, leeks, melons, garlic. I don't like garlic. Actually, all the food in Egypt they were eating and mentioned here, well, they eat fantastic food. It is not, you know. It is not. And yet they still complain. And they say that, wow, these food are so wonderful and so fantastic, and as though God is the one who you treated them now and give them manners. Dearly beloved, when you complain, that's what we are. We think of the past and we make unjust comment against God, and we complain, and then we say things that are not true. And that's exactly what happened. They will have bad influence, the mixed multitude, and they say all the wrong things, unjust things against God. Isn't it sad? And God who delivered them, and God who blessed them, and God who gave them so much, and now they turn against God, and they say things against God. And they say the past was better, Egypt was better. In our Christian life, sometimes you and I may be tempted and say, oh, if I am still a non-Christian, how nice, I can still enjoy life. I won't be here, I'll be at the beach, I'll be at the cinema. Sometimes if we think like that, we're just like the Egyptian and the children of Israel. Say, oh, Egypt was better. We got onion, we got garlic to eat. But they're not fantastic food. So learn from this lesson. It's a very important lesson that we must learn from. And when we backslide, this is exactly what will happen. You see, Egypt is better. is the world really better? You go back to the world, you go back to all your worldly friends, are they going to really help you? Are they going to be better for your life? Are they going to give you meaning in life? You ask yourself. And you think, oh, I can have all the fun, I can have all the enjoyment. Is it really true? Just like what the children of Israel say, I can have my garlic, I can have my onion, I am a free person. Is it really true? It is not. What the world promised and what you think, if you go back to the world, it will not be so. And so let's learn from this important lesson. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Now we must move on. We must move on. Alright, now, Numbers 11, and you see the leader Moses. Moses is just like you and I, a man of flesh and blood, and he faced discouragement. You face discouragement? I tell you, I do. Every time I come to Ebenezer meeting, I always pray, Lord, touch all your hearts. Bring all the people, the youth here. Let them come and seek God's will. And every time I walk at this level, then I see, wow. If I see outside the house, only so few shoes, then my heart drops. So few people are here. Yeah, I see many shoes, and wow, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we're all made of flesh and blood, and we do feel discouraged. And even for a great man of God like Moses, it was no different. Can you see Moses? And here we read from verse 10 to 15. His discouragement. Let's read together. Verse 10 to verse 15. And you see for yourself the discouragement that Moses faces. Right? Together from verse 10 to verse 15. And see what he said. Ready, go. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou mayest lay the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, and we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of heaven. If I have found favor in thy sight, then let me not see my wretchedness. How do you feel as you read these few verses of Moses? A man, after seeing all the children of Israel, he led them, he prayed for them, he helped them, he guided them, and he really taught them the word of the Lord. After 2 years, here they are crying. Crying for what? Crying because no food, no meat to eat. And can you imagine? I mean, if you are Moses, with 2 million people crying before you, asking for what? Give me flesh! I don't want manna, I don't want God's manna. I'm sure you and I also will face discouragement like Moses. Have you ever felt so discouraged like Moses in your life? And what did Moses do? It's very important that when we are discouraged, we learn from Moses. But first of all, can you look at verse 10? And I want you to learn also this lesson that it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled. Now there's such thing as anger as an emotion. But this emotion is not necessarily a sinful emotion. You can be angry with a just cause. And for this case, when the Lord says he is angry with the children of Israel, it is not a sinful emotion. And so there was this just and right anger. And when the Lord was angry, you find that Moses was displeased. Moses was very sad, really very sad when he looked at what happened. And he saw the people and they all wanted to have meat. And he just could not bear anymore. The burden was just too heavy for Moses. Just too heavy that he could not take it. And here, in verse 11, That the wonderful thing about Moses, that when he was discouraged, he talked to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. And so when you and I are discouraged and sad, we must learn from Moses. We talk to the Lord. We open our heart to the Lord. And Moses opened his heart to the Lord. In verse 11, he said, Moses said to who? He didn't scold the people. He didn't rebuke all the people. He didn't burst out his anger against the people. But the Lord, in verse 11, said, Moses said unto the Lord. It was a very personal, heart-to-heart prayer that Moses had with the Lord. And Moses told the Lord, I cannot take it anymore. This affliction is just too strong for me. This trial is just too strong for me. This burden to look after the people is just too strong. I cannot take it anymore. And the people are just too disobedient. 2 million disobedient people in front of him. And then in verse 15, what did Moses pray? Very serious. He said to the Lord, Lord, kill me. Can you see the word kill me? Verse 15. Now I want you to know that this is not suicide. Committing suicide is taking your own life. You take your own life, it's suicide. And this is against God's word. Because the Ten Commandments is what? Thou shalt not kill. That's taking your own life, and then you plunge a knife into yourself, or you go and jump down from 20 story or whatever. But here Moses is asking the Lord, Lord, I'm just too tired, too weary. The burden is too heavy. I cannot do it. The people are just complaining. I cannot help them anymore. Ask the Lord to take my life. So this is not suicide. You just ask the Lord, Lord, maybe you just take me away. Maybe you find another leader to take over this job. And so that's what Moses prayed to the Lord. Lord, take my life. So remember, this is not suicide. It's the same as Elijah. When Elijah was running away from Queen Jezebel, also Elijah prayed the same prayer. So men of God also pray this prayer. Lord, I'm just too weary, too tired, take away my life. Have you ever prayed this prayer before? Well, nobody better answer me. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Lord, I'm just so weary, the problems are just too big, too overwhelming. Lord, take away my life. Take me home, I want to be with you in heaven. You shall have. Never, huh? Next time you will have. Because Uncle John have. I have prayed this prayer. Not one time, any time. I'm just too tired sometimes. And Moses also have, Elijah also have. One day when you grow up with more burdens in life, you will have definitely times that you say, Lord, take me home. And so, when you are discouraged, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord and tell the Lord. And did the Lord answer Moses' prayer? Did the Lord answer Moses' prayer? The answer is yes. And Moses said he was alone. And here the Lord provided him with 70 other elders now to help him. From verse 16 to verse 18, you find that God gave Moses support. Other leaders will support him. So in verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me what? 70 men from the elders of Israel. So God answered Moses' prayer. So when you are discouraged, just commit to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Open your heart to the Lord. Tell the Lord you are discouraged. Tell the Lord your problem. Tell the Lord your circumstances, and the Lord will answer your prayers. So God gave Moses 70 other additional leaders to help him. How wonderful. And how I always thank God. In Ebenezer, I'm not alone, right? I have Hong Hao, Bo Hao, Emma Su Hui. So God always is very kind to us. God knows that sometimes we cannot bear it alone. And God gave us what? Support. And God gave Moses 70 leaders to support him. And how about the people who asked for meat? Give me meat. Give me flesh to eat. We tahan ready. The manna. Did God answer this prayer? Did God answer this prayer? Have or not? Yes. Okay. The people wanted to have flesh to eat, wanted meat to eat. And so God is going to give them meat to eat. And God also answered this prayer. And God provided meat, which is what they call the quail, right? The flesh that dropped from heaven, and it came upon them. God gave them the meat. God gave them the flesh. But this blessing turned out to be a curse to the people. Can you read with me? Can you read with me? And you see why when God gave them, you want meat? God said, okay, I give you meat, right? I give you meat. Moses will pray and then you have meat to eat. Heaven will drop down flesh for you to eat. No more manna. And look at verse 20. Can you read with me verse 20? And so the people get what they want. They get a blessing. They ask for this. They ask for this. Now they get it. God gave it to them. Look at verse 20. Read together. Verse 20. Ready, go. But even a whole month until you come out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because that he had despised the Lord which is among you and had wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now God said, you want meat, you want flesh, God gave them the quails, and God gave them so much from heaven. He keep dropping and he keep dropping down, and the whole land was full of quails, right? It piles up everywhere, and the people start to eat, wow, very nice, wow, wonderful, wow, it tastes so good. But as they start to eat, what happened? Become what? Look at verse 20. Right? Become loathsome. Sting in them. Become something that they despise. And then the food, they eat so much until what? It came out from where? It came out from where? From Austria. Even the food they eat, because they eat so much, and then become something that they detest, and then it came out even from the nostrils. And this is another important lesson that we learn. If we are not contented, God gave us manna. We say, no, give me flesh, give me meat. Okay, God said, I give you meat. You have it. The children of Israel have it. But that blessing turned out to be a curse. The thing that you want turned out to be a curse because it is not what God's will for your life. Listen, you and I can get what we want, but it does not mean it is a blessing from God. Can you turn your Bible to Psalm 106 verse 15? Psalm 106 verse 15. This is a very apt description. You can underline this verse. Psalm 106 verse 15. Let's read together. Psalm 106 verse 15. Let's read together. And he gave them their request, the sense leanness into their soul. See, they wanted flesh, they wanted meat, they don't want manna. And God said, I give it to them. God granted their request. They had all the nice flesh, nice meat to eat. But what happened inside them? God sent what? Leanness into their soul. The blessing turned out to be a curse. The food that's so nice turned out to be a loathsome thing. It came up from the nostril. God gave them the request but sent leanness into their soul. It was miserable. It was terrible for the children of Israel. And this is a lesson for us. If you are not happy and contented with what God gives you in your life, why my result only got 90 marks? Why not 100 marks? And God give you 100 marks, why not 101 marks sometimes? We're not happy. God can give us all that we say we want, but it can be a leanness to your soul. It can be a misery to your soul. Is that what we want? Or rather, let's learn to be contented with what God gives us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now I must move on. Okay, chapter 12. Can you turn to Numbers chapter 12? The next chapter is about the next sin, but this time is sibling. All those is sibling quarrel. We've got a lot of sibling here. Alright, Rachel, go away. Rachel, Esther, Bao Yan, Tianjin. Jayshaw, David. Hong Hao Po Hao. I think also you have your sibling. Now we have a sibling problem. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's read together and see what's the problem. See what's the problem. Ready? Go. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now this man Moses, before 2 million people, he suffered a lot from these people who complain, right? Now you think that, wow, if only my own sibling, my closest people on my hand, Moses' elder brother Aaron, elder sister Miriam. Moses is the younger brother. So these are the two older siblings. Wow. My two older siblings, of course they must support me, right? Of course, right? They must be the one encouraging me. But what happened? Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, you find that even his own two closest person to him, Miriam and Aaron, accused Moses. In verse 1, of course they say, "Hey Moses, why you marry this Ethiopian woman? Why not you didn't marry an Israelite? Why you marry this Ethiopian woman?" Now previously, if you have read earlier on, Moses had a wife called Zipporah. So most likely, we believe that Zipporah must have died and Moses remarried. And now he had chosen this woman who is an Ethiopian, Ethiopian woman. And so the Miriam and Aaron, they were not happy with Moses and now they complain. But I want you to know that actually the real motive why Miriam and Aaron complain is not so much he married this Ethiopian woman. The real motive is that they were not happy with Moses. And the answer is in verse 2. Can you see verse 2? What were they saying to Moses? "Moses, don't think you're so great. Only God speak to you only. I don't think you're the only leader that's appointed, right? If God can speak to you, God also can what? Speak to us. Because what? Maybe I'm older than you. I'm Miriam, I'm Aaron, I'm older than you. God also can use me. God also can lead me and make me to be a leader." And so the real motive behind this complaint of Moses' own sibling is really one that of pride and wanting to have what? Recognition. Why is it that you quarrel with your brothers and sisters? Because what? Pride. My ego is hurt. How come only you get attention? How come only you get the thing I don't have it? And because of a lot of time is pride, and then we don't get the recognition, we are not happy and we complain. And that's exactly what happened to Aaron and Miriam when they complained against Moses. And what do? When Jabin complained against you, Jabin? Of course you shout back, right? And you defend your right. And you say, right, I'm not like that. But learn from Moses. Learn from Moses. After all that, Miriam and Aaron has complained against him and said, "Moses, are you sure you married the right person? Are you sure you're the only leader? Are you sure only God speak to you?" Look at verse 3. What did Moses react? What did Moses say to Aaron and Miriam? Did he say anything? Did Moses say anything? You know, this is the best reaction. Anyone who wants to complain against you, say anything bad against you, what do? Learn from Moses. Guess what? Remain quiet. Moses did not reply. Actually, it's only silence. He did not say anything. Now the man Moses was very meek. Look at verse 3. Right? That's the only description. He didn't say anything. Well, he didn't rebut back. He didn't challenge them. He didn't argue. And then he didn't have a quarrel. And then nothing of this. He just kept quiet. And that was his reaction. The Bible say Moses can react this way is because he was a meek person. Now this word meek is not weak. Write it down. Meekness is not weakness. Okay? M-E-E-K-N-E-S. Meekness is not weakness. W-E-A-K-N-E-S. It's not that Moses no argument, sure lose the court case. Or talk to Miriam, Aaron, sure don't know how to say, sure lose. It's not. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness means actually you have the right, you have the power, you can actually defend yourself, you can actually speak up for yourself, but you do not want to do it. And that is meekness. And that's exactly what the Bible says, that Moses was very meek, not only meek, but very meek. The meekest man, right? And he didn't even want to say any word against his elder sibling Miriam and Aaron when they accused him falsely. I have no time, but Matthew chapter 11 verse 21 described the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can remember? "Learn of me," Jesus said what? "Learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart." Every time I hear a quarrel, the reason is because we are not meek. When we are not meek, we will quarrel, we will argue, right? Ask yourself, is it true or not in the house? Siblings, yeah? No? All the sibling quarreling, is it because we are not meek and we want to defend and we want to stand up and we want to fight for ourselves? But learn from Moses. And when you are meek, remember God will intervene for you. God will defend you. And God defended Moses. And so if you look at from verse 5 onwards to verse 9, that it was God who came down and God who brought Aaron, Miriam and Moses together. And God is the one who said, Moses, he's the one I've appointed. Moses is the one who's going to be the leader. Moses is the one that I have spoken to him. Not Aaron, not Miriam. And so God himself defended Moses. Moses doesn't have to speak out anything, but God himself spoke and defended Moses. And then God commanded Moses. Look at verse 7. What did God say about Moses? Very important, this word. Always remember, there's something about our Christian life. I would say that we must always cultivate in our Christian life. Meekness is one of them. The other one is in verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is what? Faithful in all my house. The second Christian virtue that you and I must cultivate is what? Faithfulness. Being faithful. And you start from young. All of you, listen here. Start from young. If you have a task to do, whatever you're asked to do, even in Ebenezer, do it well. Be faithful to it. Don't take it easy. Don't boch up. Don't say, never mind, I can don't do. Or don't, I can just anyhow do. Don't be faithful. Faithfulness is very important. And God commanded Moses and said, Moses is different. Why have I chosen him? Because he's what? Faithful. He's meek and he's faithful. And that is the characteristic of Moses that we can learn from. Now beware of what happened. When Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses, God punished Miriam. Most likely it was Miriam who instigated Aaron. And then and you find that they complained about Moses. And look at verse 10. What happened to Miriam? In verse 10, God judged Miriam and sent his punishment on Miriam. And she became what? The last line. She became what? Leprous. So leprosy struck Miriam. Remember the law? If you are a leper, if you are leprosy, what will happen? Right? You have to be what? You have defiled the camp. You have to be outside the camp. And so Miriam has to be outside and they pray for Miriam. But this is how serious it is. That we are reminded in the Bible of speaking against God's chosen people. Right? In Hebrews chapter 13, can you turn to Hebrews chapter 13? I'm going to end very soon. Huh? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Every time I tell myself, I want to touch on my message, and today I say, I want to just go 2 points, instead of 3 points, so that I won't speak so long, but still I speak too long. Remind me, I think my children will know, my father is a bit long-winded. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. That's what we have to learn. Because in different circumstances, sometimes we are leaders, sometimes we are followers. When we are followers, we learn this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Let's read together. Ready? Go. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now we all must learn this, that when we are followers, and when God has appointed leaders over us, in different areas, different functions, we have learned to obey them. Don't complain. Don't be like Aaron, Moses and say, only you. Why only you? Why not me? Obey them. Because they have an important role. They watch for our souls. They do it with joy. Pray for them. Submit ourselves to them. And that's something that we all must learn. At every age, every opportunity, every time, we all have different roles. Sometimes there'll be times that you are the leader, I am a follower. Right? Even you are younger, when you are a camp master or you are in charge of this. And I also have to remind myself, I must learn to obey, to follow instructions and pray for the leader. And don't say that, oh, I can do a better job than you. Yeah, you're horrible, I always do it like that. Don't do this. Learn that when it's God's appointed role, and this is Moses and God has appointed him, let's learn to obey, submit ourselves, pray for the leaders. And so lastly, I just want to conclude with this, that Miriam was judged with leprosy. And this is what I call chastisements of God. whom God loved in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, God will chastise and God will teach us. And we will go through God's chastisement because we are always also disobedient at times. And we must learn when God chastises us, just like Miriam in this case, she has to repent, seek the Lord. So the Lord help us as we learn this chapter 11, chapter 12. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn so many important lessons from Numbers chapter 11, chapter 12 today. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be even like this man of God, Moses, whom you have raised, appointed, so meek and so faithful to thee. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us, that we will grow in this wonderful Christian virtue of meekness and faithfulness. And help us to learn to abide in thee, Lord. Not to complain, but learn Christian contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So bless your word and make your word to be so real in our life and to grow in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.